we treated like a young person as a special mitzvah to have a suda. The pasuk says in Chumash, "V'nisim esnaf shesechem etisha lachodesh bo'erev." So the Gemara poses a question: you don't start fasting on Tisha, you start fasting on Asiri. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk means you have to start fasting with Tisha lachodesh bo'erev. Says I'm following Tisha lachodesh, but still it's written up this the very convoluted way. So the Gemara says must be the pasuk is telling you something in addition to the fasting on Yom Kippur. What's in addition? So the Gemara has two suggestions. One suggestion is that it's teaching me the din of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. You have to start fasting Mebod Yom. Can't just begin fasting Ben Hashmashes of Yom Kippur. You have to be Moisiv Mechoil HaLakodesh. And the Gemara suggests that maybe this is the marker for the din of Tosefes Masif Mechoil HaLakodesh and every Shabbos and every Yontif and so on. The Rambam Taket Paskens like that this is the marker for the din of Mosif and Mechoil HaLakodesh, and the Rambam Paskens against the Gemara that the din of Mosif and only applies to Yom Kippur. Before and after Yom Kippur doesn't apply to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yontif. There's never a din of being Mekabel Shabbos early. And most of the Achrayim understand in the Rambam there isn't a din of Tosefes Shabbos, not Ben Atar, not Ben Derabbanan. Not only you're not Mechoyiv to be Mosif, even if you are Mosif, it's not Chal. And it's not Chal Ben Atar, it's not Chal Ben Derabbanan. That's how most of the Achrayim understand. The Rambam denies the whole institution of Tosefes Shabbos in Gansen. In the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote in Hilchas Shabbos that you should be Mosif Mechoyiv Al HaKodesh, you should be Mekabel Shabbos early, so it says Yesh Omrim. There were those who say, what do you mean Yesh Omrim? So the Vilna Gaon says, because the Rambam is the one who disagrees. But it's problematic. The Rambam is very difficult because the Gemara says, even if you say that this is the Mokker, you start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. But the Gemara says, you shouldn't think that it's only a din in Yom Kippur. We learn a Mamatzino, just like Yom Kippur has a Kedushas Man, and there's a din of Tosefes, so it applies to every Shabbos and every Yontif as well. So the Rambam is problematic why he only applies it to Yom Kippur. The Magen Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam that according to the Rambam there is a din of Tosefes only on Yom Kippur, so it only applies to the Chamisha Inuyim. You have to start fasting early. You're not allowed to wear shoes early. You're not allowed to bathe late in the afternoon before Yom Kippur begins. The Taisus says like that. Taisus quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that only Achil Shtiyah is Minat Torah, and the other Inuim, wearing shoes and bathing and Tashmish Shamit, all that is only Midi Rabban. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam says in Taisus, because the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk, the Gemara in the Dorm learns that from a Pasuk, that if one violates the Yisra of Achil Shtiyah, there's a punishment of Kares. But if a person wears shoes on Yom Kippur, bathes on Yom Kippur, there's no punishment, of course. How can it be? If all the Chamisha Inuim are on equal footing, they're all in Issa Deraisa, how can it be that on some there's Kares and on others there is no Kares? So the Rambam is not bothered with that kasha. We have a din of Dam. You have Psukim Mechumish, that Dam, called Dam Lo Sechel. So the Rambam quotes the Gemaris that Dam Shana Shama Yotzebo, when you shech the Behem and it gushes out, the Dam gushes out. So the Dam that kills the animal, if you eat that Dam, you have Kares. If you drink the dam shebelev after the animal is dead, you have kares. But if you take a piece of meat, the dam and the capillaries, and you squeeze out the dam, and you don't salt it to get it out, you squeeze it out, that's an issa deraisa to drink that dam. But there's no kares. So you have one pasuk called dam lo sechelu, and it includes various kinds of dam, and some of them have kares, and some of them don't have kares. So that's not a sufficient proof that this is deraisa and that's the rabbanon. So that's why the Rambam sounds like he holds not like Taisus. Rambam seems to hold all the Chamisha Inuim constitute an Issa Deraisis. Achid Ashtiyah have Kores, and the other Inuim don't have any Kores. So the Magen Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, there's only a Dinah Masif and Mechoyel Al HaKodesh on Yom Kippur. Only that, the Rambam says, only on the Inuim of Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah Masif and Mechoyel Al HaKodesh regarding the Issa Malacha. So let's say half an hour before Shkiyah, we assume Shki is the beginning of the Bein Hashmashes. So Masif Mechoyel Al HaKodesh, you have to be Masif before Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes is a Chasofik Deraisa Luchum, it's Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So you're not Yotze Tasefes by observing the laws of Yom Kippur during Bein Hashmashes. You have to be Masif in advance of the Bein Hashmashes. Then a Matzoy Yom Kippur, you have to add on after Tzeis HaKachav. If you wait Bein Hashmashes till Tzeis HaKachav, that's because of Sofik. Sofik Deraisa Luchum, so you have to be Masif extra. So the Magen Mishnah claims within the Rambam that you only have to be Moisif on Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur Dikadinim of Inui. There's no din of Tosefes for the Malacha Dikadinim on Yom Kippur. Rav Soloveitchik always thought that that didn't make any sense, and he thought the Makevis HaMishnah. There's a Sefer Makevis HaMishnah, commentary on the Rambam, on the whole Rambam. Makevis HaMishnah always gives the most bland Pashut Pshat in the Rambam, whereas the other Mefarshim give fancy interpretations and fancy sources. He always gives the flat Pshat, the simple Pshat. So he comments on this Magen Mishnah. He doesn't think the Magen Mishnah is right. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? You're going to make Tosefes Yom Kippur Lachatzoyin? You're only going to be Maisa Mechoyel Al HaKadosh with respect to Inuyim and not with respect to Malacha? What kind of Tosefes Yom Kippur means? You begin Yom Kippur half an hour earlier.
We say that by Havdalah. Havdalah.
You only hear us
until you say Havdalah is
Achilish
Shtiyah. But everything else, the other
Malachas,
you are.
Mina Matzoi Shabbos. No. You're allowed to eat on Shabbos.
The Havdalah of Yom Kippur is
Matir Dachil Eshtir. The Havdalah Matzai Shabbos also, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, after Shabbos is over.
Dachil Eshtir is more important.
No, that's a different reason why. You're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, it's a different din. It's not because Yom Kippur is not over. Once you say Atachan Antono and Shul, so Yom Kippur is over. And it's a different din, you're not supposed to eat before Havdalah. Same thing on Matzai Shabbos and Matzai Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to eat before Havdalah. Water you can drink before Havdalah.
Yom
Kippur is a bigger issue of Achir Vishtir than
Shabbos.
You have another way,
the
issue of Achir Vishtir and Yom Kippur is different than eating before Shabbos. But once you say Atochan Antanu, so you already made Havdalah. So the din is you have to say Havdalah Lakos. That's like every Matzoi Shabbos, you have to say Havdalah Lakos. So to drink water before Havdalah Lakos is Mutta.
To go to the Mikvah is only before noon.
In Shulchan Aruch they recommend you should go to mikveh. They quote Rav Sadigon and says Erev Yom Kippur you should go to mikveh dafke efter chatzos. Yeah, he holds that you're not yoytze if you go before chatzos. Rav Sadigon, the last rosh in Maseches Yuma quotes Rav Sadigon that everybody has to go to mikveh b'shor shviyis. Shor shviyis means efter chatzos. If you go before chatzos, you're not yoytze. And when you go to mikveh, you recite a bracha. So the Rosh understood in the Rav Sadia Goyim that it's based on the principle in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that you have to go to mikveh before Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. So the Rosh is surprised that the Rav Sadia Goyim thinks that it applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Also, the din of Chayav Adam Taratzma Beregel is Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Yekayim. You have to be Torah to enter into the Azorah. But it doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and Bechlal doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. No one has the opportunity to go to the Beis Hamikdash, so he doesn't understand what the Rabbein Sadi Goyen is talking about. Why should you have to go to mikveh and Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon? So the later Achrayim say that the Rav Sadi Goyen, if you look in the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadi Goyen, he didn't mean it based on Chai Varam Tayar Atzma B'Regel. The Rav Sadi Goyen seems to have understood the pasuk Lifnei Hashem Titoru as referring to going to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. Lefnei Hashem means prior to entering into Yom HaKippurim. Before you enter into the Kedusha Sayyayim, Titoru, you should be tovel in a mikveh. So he says that you have to go to mikveh after Chatzos. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rav Sadia Goyen after Chatzos. And then they quote the Chayodam, writes in his Sefer, an hour before Chatzos is also good. That's the shot. Where does that come from? An hour before Chatzos, what is that supposed to represent? It's very unclear. So one of the Mekubalim, Rav Moshe Sternbach, quotes in one of his Svarim that one of the Mekubalim told him that Vilna is on the map, like New York is 7 hours earlier, however we call it, earlier, later, West. Than Eretz Yisrael.
6 hours.
Now it's six.
Because of daylight savings. But under normal circumstances, it's a 7 hour difference. So Vilna is an hour difference from Yerushalayim. So that's why the Chayyadim says, you can go to mikveh, Chayyadim lived in Vilna. What does that mean? So he says, this Mekubal says, because all the Rishonim who talk about the international dateline say that the earth is a globe, so you have two hemispheres. So one hemisphere has Yerushalayim in the center. Yerushalayim is called Tabur Haaretz, the belly button that's the center of the earth. So the international dateline cuts through Korea because it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So after Chatzos in Yerushalayim, after Chatzos, it's already Yom Kippur somewhere in the world, in Korea. If you live in Vilna, so after 11 o'clock, an hour before Chatzos, it's already Yom Kippur in Korea, in the first place in the world where it can be Yom Kippur. So that's why the Chayyotim said like that. So according to that, in New York, you can go to mikveh 7 hours, 7 hours before Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael. You can go to mikveh 11 o'clock at night. You can go tonight, 11 o'clock at night, because it's already in Korea, it's already Yom Kippur. That's what a Mekubal told Rav Moshe Shtemach. He wrote it in his sefer. That's usually not assumed to be the pshat. Usually they say somehow the Chayyadim thinks an hour before Chatzos is also good enough. But again, getting back to this Gemara, so the Gemara has this difficult pasuk. The pasuk means when the ninth of Tishrei is over and it comes Leil Yud Tishrei, it's Yom Kippur, then you have to fast. But the pasuk is written very poorly. So that's what the Gemara says. The reason why it's written in such a roundabout way is to teach us another din. What's the additional din? So the Gemara has two suggestions. So the one suggestion is, it's teaching us a din, Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. And the Pashim Shat is, in the Gemara, is that from here we learn how to call out the Rekula to every Shabbos and every Yontif. So the Rambam says, no, it's only a din Tosefes Yom Kippur, Lefanel Yachreo, and it doesn't even extend to Shabbos and Yontif, only Yom Kippur. And the Magen Mishnah wants to say only Inuyim on Yom Kippur. It doesn't even apply to Meloch on Yom Kippur. That's what the Makevus HaMishnah thinks, that part is difficult. Then the Gemara gives an alternate pshat. Maybe the Pasuk is alluding to a different din. Maybe the Pasuk means to say not only that you have to fast on Yom Kippur, you have to do something on the ninth of Tishrei that it should be considered as if you fasted 2 days in a row. What do you have to do on the ninth of Tishrei? So the Gemara said that's what the Pasuk must be saying. If you eat elaborate meals, you're always going to have Cheerios for breakfast and a tuna fish sandwich for lunch. You're going to have something. You're not going to fast on Esim. Talking about normal people, not talking about Malachim. But the Pasuk means you have to have some elaborate meal. Why? Because Erev Yom Kippur is Echad HaYontev. So you have to have an elaborate Suda, and Erev Yom Kippur and Kol HaEchad V'Shoyseh, whoever shows covered to the Yontev of Erev Yom Kippur, Malal HaKasav, is considered as if he had fasted 2 days in a row. What is that all about? The difficulty is the Rambam quotes both. The Rambam quotes the din of Tosefes Yom Kippur, only Yom Kippur. So obviously he's learning it out from this pasuk. He's not learning it out from some other pasuk. This is the Mokker, and he holds it's only Yom Kippur. Then he quotes the other drasha also, that there's a mitzvah to eat, achila shtiyah, and erev Yom Kippur. And the Gemara seems to say they're mutually exclusive. Either you darshan A or you darshan B. You don't darshan both. What is the mitzvah to eat on erev Yom Kippur? What is that all about? So the Netziv has a famous essay in his commentary on the Shiltas. He says that it seems to be a Mefurish HaMachlokes in Rishonim and in Poskim whether the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is in preparation for the Tonis. So you should be able to fast better on Yom Kippur. So then it only makes sense to eat in the daytime. It doesn't make sense to say that tonight, by eating an elaborate dinner tonight, that's going to help me fast. But I'm going to eat tonight. It's going to be gone and forgotten by the time it comes tomorrow night. How can it be? So if you hold that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is as a hachona for the fasting on Yom Kippur, that's what Rabbi Kivega writes, and others write like that, then it makes sense why Rashi writes in Ksubas that the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is only by Yom, not the Bileil Erev Yom Kippur. But if you should assume other Rishonim and other Paskim hold that the mitzvah to eat even applies tonight, so it means that it's a separate, independent mitzvah to eat. So what's for an independent mitzvah? What can it possibly be? So some Achrayim point out that the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, the last Mishnah in Tainus says that the two jolliest days of the year on the Jewish calendar were Yom Kippurim, Chamisha Asar B'Av. The girls would dance and they would make shiduchim, so they were very happy days. So the Gemara says Yom Kippur, we understand what we're celebrating Kabbalas HaTorah. Then the Gemara says, we're also celebrating Mechilas HaOven, the Rebbein Shalom forgives. What do you mean Kabbalas HaTorah? I mean Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur we celebrate Kabbalah Slucha Shnias. That's really so. We're commemorating Kabbalah Sartar the Slucha Shnias, but we celebrate on Shavuos as Mamat and Torasenu. That's on the Siddur. Chag Shavuos says Mamat and Torasenu. Why do we need two holidays to celebrate Kabbalah Sartar? So Rabbi Shlomo Levilner writes about this in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. So he says he thinks that we need two Yomim Tovim. Shavuos is the celebration of Kabbalah Torah Shebichsav. Yom Kippur is a celebration of Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. What is that all about? So the Beis HaLevi elaborates on this. Shlomo Levilner just writes Bekitzah. Beis HaLevi elaborates. He says the original plan of the Rabbanu Shel Olam was that he's going to give Kol HaTorah Kulo is going to be engraved on the Luchos Rishonos. Because the Gemara says not only the Aseres HaDibros, there were other psukim written there also. And he quote, there's a Gemara in Shabbos like that. So Taisus says it's lav dafka in the Gemara. The Gemara says about words that were engraved on the Luchos that could be seen through and through. The Gemara says words that don't appear in the Aseres HaDibros. So Taisus says just an example. The Gemara didn't mean anything. So the Beis HaLevi says, no, you have Midrashim like that and passages in the Zohar that Kol HaTorah Kulo was written on the Luchos Rishonos. So the Beis HaLevi elaborates on the theme. The original plan was that Kol HaTorah Kulo was going to be written on the Luchos Rishonos and there wouldn't be any need for any Torah Shebal Peh. But then after the Chet HaEgel, a small print, okay. Then after the Chet HaEgel, so the Rabbanu Shalom decided that the Bnei Yisrael will have to suffer at the hands of their enemies. Before the Chet HaEgel, it wouldn't be possible. That's how the Midrashim say it wouldn't be possible. En koluma v'loshen shaletes behem. If we wouldn't have sinned with the Chet HaEgel, we would never have been conquered. We would never have been controlled by any other nation. But after the Chet HaEgel, so the Rabbanu Shalom punished us, it will be tachas shlitas ha-nochrim. So the Rabbanu Shalom was concerned, well, the nochrim will be shalet anah, so they'll take the chumash, and they'll say that they're the Yama Nifchar. The Catholics claim that we lost our status as Yama Nifchar, because we rejected Osa Ho'ish, and they're the Yaman Ifcha, and they have the Torah. And the Torah now belongs to them. The Torah belongs to the Yaman Ifcha. They claim that they're the Yaman Ifcha. So that's the Medrash that the Tesis in Gittin quotes, commenting on the Pasuk, Echtav lo ruboi Torasi, haloka moza nechshavu. The Rabbanu Shalom says, if I'll write Kol HaTorah Kulo on the Luchos, everything will be Torah Shebichzav. So the Yom HaSalem who will be Shoilat on Bnei Yisrael will be Shoilat on the whole Torah Shebichzav, and they'll say that they're the Yaman Ifcha. So the Yidden will be La Halokam Azaynach Shavu, will be outsiders. They'll have a claim that they're the Yaman Yivchar. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, the second plan was after the Chet HaEgel, second plan was Psalucho Shnei Lachos Avarim Karishanim Chasapti Lachos Hadvarim Shehiyu Al Lachos Harishanim Asher Shibarto. This time he's only going to write Aseres Hadibros. At the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos, the rest had already was Osias Perchas Boavir. The rest of the Ksav disappeared, and only the Aseres HaDibros was there. So the second Luchos only had Aseres HaDibros, didn't have everything else. So what's going to be with the rest of the Torah? That's going to be Torah Shebal Peh. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur with the Luchos Shniyos, it was a Madura Shniya. It was Madura Tenyan. It's a different version. There's going to be Torah Shebichsav, and there's going to be Torah Shebal Peh. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna and the Beis HaLevi, they say that we need two Yamim Tovim to celebrate. We have Shavuos, we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebichsav, because according to the first plan, everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav. And then Yom Kippur, we take to celebrate Zman Kabbalah's HaTorah, the Torah Shebal Peh. Because after the Chet HaEgel, so the plan changed, plan B, and there's going to be Torah Shebichsav, there's going to be Torah Shebal Peh. So there is a Gemara in Psochim, where the Gemara says, but there is a machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. How is one supposed to observe the yontif? What is yontif supposed to look like on Pesach and on Sukkot? How is he supposed to celebrate? On the one hand, one pasuk says atzeres l'Hashem elokecha, supposed to spend the whole day davening and learning. On the other hand, the other pasuk says atzeres tielachem, he's supposed to eat and drink and be merry. So how do you deal with this? You have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zezen. There is no kosa b'shlishi sheachriya beinem. What's the midah shatara nidreshes bam over here? So the Gemara says, in a situation like this, thank you very much. In a situation like this, the Gemara says, there's a machlekes hatanoim. So Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkin is of the opinion that whenever you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zezev, you have an option of either choosing A or B, because you don't have a kosav shlishi that should blend the two in together. And we don't pass like Rabbi Lezer, we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. Chalkeyu, chetzil Hashem v'chetzil Lachem. If you have shnei ksuvim amakrishim zezeh, so you have to figure out a pshara on your own. So Rabbi Yeshua says you have to have elaborate meals and you have to spend more time davening slowly and a chazan with a choir, and the Rav should give a shir and a drush and more kriyas haTorah than on a regular day. You should divide the day approximately chalkeyu, chetzil Hashem v'chetzil Lachem. So then the Gemara says this machloik is between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, how you're supposed to observe every yontif only applies to Pesach and to Sukkot. On Shavuos, Hakol Moedim Batzeres, everybody agrees on Shavuos that you have to have elaborate meals. Why? Because Yom Shinitna Batar, the Kovet Kabbalah Satar, you have to throw a party, something special, not some Cheerios for breakfast and tuna fish sandwich for lunch. You have to have an elaborate meal on Shavuos. So, why? Because Yom Kabbalah Satar. So Rav Shlomo Levilna asks, no, If the Gemara says that on Yom Kippur you're celebrating Kabbalah Satira, so where do you have the meals? You're fasting the whole day. So he gives some esoteric explanation where he tries to say the way to celebrate Kabbalah Satira Shabbichsav is by eating meals. The way to celebrate Kabbalah Satira Shabbalpeh is by fasting. So that's and he tries to link. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. The Torah was given already on Shavuot, so how come they were eating on Yom Kippur?
He didn't
tell him yet.
How we can celebrate
the what?
It's written Vaniti at Nafshasechem.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur.
So he can't.
Yeah.
So he can't. So that's the problem. So that's what some Achrayim say. That's the mitzvah titan of Yom Kippur. We really want to celebrate Yom Kippur as the Yom Kabbalah's Torah Sheval Peh, and we really want to throw a big party, but you're not allowed to eat in Yisim Esnaf Shasechem. So second best is, the Torah says, celebrate on Erev Yom Kippur, have elaborate meals on Erev Yom Kippur, Bayom HaBalayla. Not that the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is supposed to be a hachana for the Tonis. That would only make sense if it's a mitzvah to eat only Bayom. But if you all like those Rishonim, the mitzvah to eat begins tonight, even the Laila before, so how can you say eating tonight is a hachana for tomorrow night? It's going to be gone and forgotten by the time it comes tomorrow night. The answer is no. We're celebrating Kabbalah Satur. And that's why in the Chassidus Svarim they say that the Torah is compared to Dvash V'cholov Tachas L'Shoinech. Learning Torah is compared to milk and honey. So that's why the minig is that on Shavuos you eat milchiks, because the Torah is compared to Cholov. And on Erev Yom Kippur they usually give Lekach, they give honey cake, because the Torah is compared to Dvash. So the minig was, in the Chassidus Shtilach minig was that they gave Dafke honey cake because we're celebrating Kabbalah Satara on Erev Yom Kippur, just like we have milchiks on Shavuos to celebrate Kabbalah Satara, because the Torah is compared to milk, so the Torah is compared to honey as well. But the Chassidim, they have a minig also that they buy the honey cake from the money from the Pushka, the honey cake that they give on Erev Yom Kippur. What, we're not allowed to take money from the Pushka, it's stocking money. So they have an explanation they give is in case it was nigzam in Hashemayim that someone has to suffer and be misparnis min atzdokeh, so we should be yaitzeh with this. The gzeirah shouldn't be we should have to be misparnis min atzdokeh all year long. People should lose their lives, lose their jobs and lose their investments and lose their money and so on. No, maybe we'll be yaitzeh with this. So the meaning was that they bought honey cake from the Pushka money and they would serve it to everybody on Erev Yom Kippur in the morning. So these are the two pshatim that the Gemara has.
But the Seder Tfilah of Yom Kippur, nothing is mentioned at all about Torah Sheval Peh.
No. No. Rav Soloveitchik just pointed out that in the Seder HaVoida on Yom Kippur in Parshas Achrei Mois, it describes the HaVoida as being divided into three units. First, the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Zohav, like every day of the year, and he does a couple of karbonas. Then he puts on Big Day Lovan, the special Yom Kippur Dikah uniform, and he does those HaVoidas. And then he wears the Big Day Zohav, and he finishes everything off. And the Mishnah say that you don't do like that. That there's one pasuk there in the middle unit that's not written in order, and it belongs later, and the avod is divided into five units. First you do avod a big day zov, then big day love, and then big day love, and then finally big day zov. So why is the pasuk written out of order? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe along the lines of the Beis Halevi to show you that the Yom Kippur is the holiday of the Torah Shabbat Peh. If you don't have Torah Shabbat Peh, if you just read the psukim, you'll be makriv the karbonis in an incorrect order. You won't do it right. So he said, maybe that's why Bedavke on Yom Kippur, the Chumash writes the Psukim out of order to emphasize the need for the Torah Sheval Peh on Yom Kippur. Yeah, but in the davening, we should mention. We assume so. The Gemara never mentions it. They probably.
Exactly the way it was written.
The Gemara says that Tzedukim disagreed with something else on Yom Kippur. The Gemara never says this. We assume they probably would do the Avodah in three units instead of five. The Gemara says a different issue about the Ktoris. Yeah, but we assume they probably would not follow this tradition either. They're not exactly the same. The Kohen Hedya, the Gartel is Shatnas, the Avnei is Shatnas, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is only Sheish. Everything is just linen.
That's one difference.
Yeah, that's the whole difference. All the other Begadim are exactly the same, except for the Avnei is not the same. The Gemara has a Machloekes HaTanoim. whether the avneta b'koin hedyot all year long has shatnas or not. So we paskin it does have shatnas, as opposed to the kain gadol on Yom Kippur, everything is sheish, everything is linen. There is no shatnas at all. So we paskin is not the same. In Shulchan Aruch they have two minhagim regarding the slichas tonight. So by the Yekis they say 2 hours of slichas, like Erev Hashanah. They say longer slichas, just like before Rosh Hashanah we said slichas a half an hour, and then Aseres Mei Tshuva becomes 45 minutes, and then it comes Erev Yom Kippur. The closer you get to Yom Kippur, they say 2 hours of slichas, and on Yom Kippur you say slichas all day and all night, say slichas keseda. And the Ramor writes that the minig where he lives in Kroke is that you say only 15 minutes slichas, you say bekitzer, shorter than the rest of Aseres Mei Tshuva. So vaz bashteita machloikes, what do the two minhagim depend on? So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Rishonim, this is the shaila, because slichas traditionally was always said in the middle of the night. There's a new minig that people wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning in the yeshivas, they start saying slichas already after the sunrise. He's supposed to be finishing the slichas before Alos HaShachar.
It's night somewhere else, that's why.
Yeah, okay. At least, Baruch Hashem, at least we have that. Yeah. So the shaila is, does it make sense to say, on the one hand it makes sense to say elaborate slichas, the closer you're coming to Yom Kippur, so the more slichas you should say. But on the other hand, if you say that it's a yontif, so maybe this yontif, you shouldn't say so many slichas. So that's the shaila, the yontif of Erev Yom Kippur, is it only in the daytime, or is it even the night before is also a yontif? So the Ramah was following that minig that the yontif begins from the night before. The whole day of Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif, so it's not proper to say such long slichas. Aseres Mei Tshuva say you make bekitzer, and the others, the Yekis, had the meaning that they say twice as long slichas because they hold that the yontif only begins in the morning, and the slichas you say in the middle of the night. So then, other rabbi should say more elaborate slichas.
According to Ramah, eating Erev Yom Kippur should start at night as well.
Yeah. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. He quotes from the earlier Achran that these two atolis are bizarre. The shaila as to whether you say long slichas or short slichas depends on whether the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur begins in the daytime or night before. So the Ramah says he says short slichas because he holds that the mitzvah to eat begins the night before. That's right. On Yom Kippur, of course, we have to observe the Hamisha Inuim. What does it mean, Mosifim Mechoyla Vakodesh, that the Rambam says only on Yom Kippur? How long is Masif HaMechol HaKodesh? So Tesis in Beitza points out on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it would appear from the Gemara there in Beitza that there is a specific amount of time that you have to be Masif HaMechol Yom. That's time a second before, half a minute before the Shkia. But Tesis does know what that amount of time is. The Gemara seems to say that it's some specific amount of time. So the Achreinim on Shulchan Aruch refer you to a Pirush Rabbeinu Peretz, the Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitza Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Now we have it, everybody has it in print. Everybody uses the Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitza. So Rabbeinu Peretz and some other Rishonim write this way, that the Masif HaMechol HaKodesh is 30 minutes before Shkia. Shkia is the beginning of Bein HaShmasha, so that's Sofik Daraisa V'chumra. Of course you have to fast. Of course you have to abstain from Malachi after the Shkia. And 30 minutes before is Samuch. We have sometimes Samuch L'mincha G'doylo, Samuch L'mincha K'tana, Samuch L'vesto, a din in Hilchus Nida. Samuch L'vesto, there's a din of Prisha. So the Ramban writes there on Shavuos in the first Perek that Samach Levesta Menator is a half an hour before the Vesas. If an Isha is Regila to have a Vesas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so the Din Prisha Menator begins at 2:30, half an hour before. I mean, the Rabban on the whole Ono, the whole day you have to be Porish. But the Din Deraisa Prisha would only be a half an hour before, because that's the Shir of Samach. Samach only means, always means a half an hour before. So the Rabbeinu Peretz and some other Rishonim say that Samach Liyam Kippur, you have to abstain from, you have to observe the Inuim. What's Samach? Half an hour before. Rav Soloveitchik said, where he came from in Europe, he remembers as a child, they used to bench licht every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontav 30 minutes before the Shkia. Mosif HaMechol HaKadosh was 30 minutes. And at Erev Yom Kippur, they used to bench licht 60 minutes before, an hour before. They started the Tanis an hour before. They said he remembered as a child, he asked, Manishtana, how come on Erev Yom Kippur, why do they add on an hour before? So he says the official explanation that they gave him was half an hour Tosefis for the fasting and half an hour Tosefis for the Malacha. So he said he didn't understand, what do you mean? It's the same thing. The Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur has two parts, an Isa Malacha with the Din of the Inuim, Chamish Inuim. Just like that, the Merkavas HaMishnah tainted against the Magen Mishnah. What do you mean? The Rambam holds only Tosefes Yom Kippur with respect to the Inuyim, not with respect to the Melachos. It's one Kedusha Sayyam for both. But he says that was the minig where he came from. There used to be Moisim Mechor Lala Kodesh every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontav 30 minutes before. Here in America, they always tell all the women to bench licht 18 minutes before. That's based on a different story. That's based on the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Yireyim. The Yireyim has a very irregular opinion. Nobody in the world agrees with the Yireyim. The Yireyim holds that when it's sunset, that's called Tzeisa Kochavim. So when is Bein HaShemashes? 18 minutes before sunset is Bein HaShemashes. The sun is shining. How can it be Bein HaShemashes? What do you mean? Sunset is Tzeisa Kochavim. The stars are not visible yet. So everybody assumes everything has shifted. Bein HaShemashes is the beginning. Shkia, after the sun sets, that's the beginning of Bein HaShemashes. And then 18, 20, 25 minutes after the Shkia, that's when it's Tzeisa Kacham, something like that. But because of this Yireim, so the Yireim has everything moved up. So even if you don't believe in Tosefes, but the last 18 minutes of the day, you have to abstain from Malacha, that's Bein HaShemashes, according to the Yireim. So that became the standard practice in America. Some of the women think you have to begin benching licht in the last 18 minutes of the day. That's not what it means. You have to have finished, you have to have completed benching licht by the last 18 minutes. If you're concerned about the Yireim, so it means the last 18 minutes before the Shkia are considered Bein HaShemashes, so that's a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. The men should finish davening. You're not supposed to daven Mincha Bein HaShemashes all year long. We should daven Mincha. We should finish Mincha before 18 minutes before the Shkia if we're so concerned about the Yireim. It's a difficult shita, yeah. Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered from Europe that there used to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos 30 minutes before on every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, except for Yom Kippur. There used to be Mekabel Tosefes an hour before. Before the Shkia Zacham, yeah.
We see Chonitah is before.
40 minutes.
Chonitah has to be Mevod Yom. Chonitah be Mevod Yom. So we should get to shul in time for a start Chonitah before the Shkia Zacham.
That's sure.
After Bench left earlier.
Yeah. Maybe that's the reason why. In Shulchan Aruch, they write that the old minig was that when they said Kol Nidre, it used to be a Hataras Nidorim on the Nidorim that were taken in the course of the last year. That was the Nidorim taken Yom Kippurim Shava Ad Yom Kippurim Hazeh. And then the Rabbi Natan was a grandson of Rashi, and his father was the son of Rashi, Rabbi Meir. So they thought that that's a mistake. Kol Nidre is supposed to, based on the Gemara and the Nidorim, and it's supposed to be a declaration that any Nidorim I take, me Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Habal, Leinu L'Toiv, any Nidorim I'll take in the course of the coming year should be null and void. So they changed the text of the Kol Nidre. But we still have, Chayyadim recommends you should say both. The Chazir say both. So we still treat it as if Kol Nidre is a Hataras Nidorim for the Nidorim from the past year. So that's why the Gemara says you're not permitted to be Matan Neder on Shabbos or Yontif unless it's the Hataras Nidorim is relevant for today. Let's say a person took a Neder not to eat chicken, not to eat potatoes, and his wife is serving chicken and potatoes on Shabbos. So he's going to make a Omach Legs with his wife, so you better be Matan Neder. So such a Neder, you're permitted to be Matan on Shabbos or Yontif because it's Negev for today. But the Kol Nidre, you're going to be Matan any miscellaneous Neder the person took in the course of the past year. So most of the Nidorim, probably all the Nidorim, will not be relevant to Yom Kippur. So that's why he says you should recite the first, the meaning is to say three times Kol Nidre, so the first Kol Nidre should be recited before the Shkia, so you shouldn't be in violation of this din of being Matan Neder on Yom Kippur if the Neder is not relevant to Yom Kippur. Why do we say three times Kol Nidre? Also because it says in Yeridei and Hilchas HaTorah Nidorim that the meaning is that when the Bez makes a HaTorah Nidorim, you say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. You say three times. Why? So they explain why. Hafaras Nidorim, that the husband or the father has the power to break the Nidorim that his wife or his daughter took. That's Psukim in Chumash. So that you don't need so much Torah Shabbal Peh for that. Torah Shabbal Peh limits it a lot. Only Benola, Benoah, Nidre, and Nefesh, it hardly ever applies. So usually the husband and the father doesn't really have the right to be matted in Nidorim. It's rare. So that's when Shulchan Aruch says the minig is that the husbands and the fathers never use this privilege of Hafaras Nidorim, because it's so restricted, it has to be Beinola, Beinon, Nidri, and Nefesh, so it rarely ever applies. But we use Hataras Nidorim. So the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Chagiga describes Hataras Nidorim as Parchim Bu'avir, Ve'en Lehem Ameshi Yismochu. It's only transmitted orally from generation to generation, like Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. It's not derived from any psukim at all. The Gemara quotes Tanaim there, the end of the first parak in Chagiga. The Gemara quotes Tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah, who say Yesh Leim Al Meshe Yismachon. There are ways to read this din of Hataras and Dorim in between the lines of the Chumash Le'achol Devaru Hu Ein Mechel Aval Acher Mechel Lo. Other Tanaim have drushes in the psukim, but the Mishnah quotes the Tana who says Ein Leim Al Meshe Yismachon, that the Hataras and Dorim is purely Torah Shabbat Peh, and it's Porchim Boavir, it's just transmitted orally from generation to generation, pure Torah about that. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that the Karoim never accepted the institution of Hataras Nadarim. So Kedei Lohoitzi Milibam Shala Karoim, to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah about that, we do believe in Hataras Nadarim. So it says when the Bez makes Hataras Nadarim, so they say three times, Mutalach, 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 like it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Menachos describes that Bizman, Bayisheni, there were periods of time that the tzedukim were running the Beis Hamikdash. A lot of the Kohanim were tzedukim. So they always celebrated Shavuos on a Sunday. A long weekend.
Yeah.
They said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oyev Yisrael Hoya, he loved the Jewish people, and he decided to give a Shavuos. It's a one-day holiday, so he made it a long weekend. We should always have Shavuos on Sunday, because he always start counting Sirim Imachos HaShabbos on a Sunday. The weeks are always up on a Shabbos. After the seventh week, Shavuot is always on a Sunday. And the Chachamim said that that's not pshat. And the Pasuk, Imachos HaShabbos means from the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, he start counting Sfira. And the word Shabbos in the Pasuk means Yontif. It doesn't mean Shabbos. And Shavuot doesn't necessarily have to fall out on a Sunday. It can fall out on any day. So the Leil Kitzira Soimer is always Mimachos HaShabbos. So the Tzedukim always insisted that the harvesting of the Omer is done on Matzoi Shabbos, always on a Matzoi Shabbos at night, and the Hakrovas Minchas Omer is always Sunday in the daytime, and Shavuot is going to be 7 weeks later on a Sunday. And the tradition of the Chachamim, when the Chachamim were running the Bais Sheni, when it wasn't in the hands of the Tzedukim, so Tziras Omer could a lot of times take place on a Shabbos. So the Tzedukim would be screaming that we're Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut the Omer on Leil Shabbos, you always have to cut the Omer on Matzoi Shabbos. So when the Shliach Bezna would be harvesting the Omer, so he would scream out three times, you sure I should cut the Omer? Yeah. You sure? Yeah. You sure? Yeah. The Shabbos, you sure I should cut today? The Shabbos? And he would repeat everything three times for emphasis to stress the fact that we follow the traditions of the Torah about that. So that's what it says in Yerideya, that when the Bezna makes Hataras Nadarim, since the whole institution of Hataras Nadarim is only known for the Torah about that, and there were so many Karoim and Tzedukim who didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh, so to emphasize and to stress the fact that we do subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh, so that's why the Bezin says three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. So that's why we say Kol Nidre three times, based on the old practice that Kol Nidre is a HaTorah Nedarim, and the Nedarim that we took in the course of the last year, so we say Kol Nidre three times. So it's only Ma'akev once. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The first time that you say Kol Nidre should be before the Shkiyah, because you're not allowed to be matan nedarim on Yom Kippur unless the neder is, unless it's necessary for Yom Kippur, which it probably is not necessary. That's a minig that we have two people stand next to the chazan also for Kol Nidre, because it's a hataras nedarim, so they need a bezna of three. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes from the Mechilta on Chumash, when they had the Melchemes Amolek, in the end of Bishalach. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu was holding his hands up and being mispallah that the Jewish army should be successful. But how long can you hold the hands up? So it says that his hands were getting weak and he needed people to help him out. So Moshe Aaron v'chur tamchu biyad mizeachod held up Moshe Rabbeinu's hands b'tefillah. So the mechilta derives from that pasuk mikan shetayne sibur tzorch shloisha. When you daven on a tayne sibur, a lot of shows they have a chazan and a choir, but usually have more than two people in the choir. So here, the Taina Sibur need three shluchei tzibur. You have to have the chazan and two people next to the chazan that it should be stronger tefillahs. How does it make it stronger?
No? Huh? It's like
a maybe like a bezin. That's a Rav Soloveitchik who say a bezin. We put together a bezin and we paskin that the Rebbe Shlom is mechuyev to take care of us because he made a bris with the Bnei Yisrael. He made a krisis bris. We didn't exactly live up to our half of the deal, so what kind of a psak is this? He's mechuyev to live up to his half of Zakash. But that perhaps is what it means, that you tayna tzibur tzor shloisha, you need three to constitute a bezin, to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom, that he should keep his shvua, even though we didn't live up to our half of the deal, he should still live up to his half of the deal. So the Shulchan Aruch presents it as if you always, all Yom Kippur long, by Ma'ariv and by Shachris and by Musav and by Mincha and by Nila, you always have two people stand next to the chazan. That's the Rav Soloveitchik at Dein Gefirt in Boston, his base medrash, and the yeshiva many years they had like that. You used to have two people stand next to the chazan the whole time of Chazaras HaShatz. But the Magen Avraham says that the minig is not so. You only have two people stand next to the chazan by Kol Nidre, because that's still a carryover. We treat it like a Torah Sandorim, so you need a Bezna of three. And then you have two people stand next to the chazan for Ne'ilah, Zokta, because Ne'ilah is a tefillah satainis. Ne'ilah is a special tefillah that you only recite on a Tainis Sivan. Ne'ilah is not a tefillah Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in Tainis says that whenever they had a Tainis Sivan, they always offered tefillah Ne'ilah. By us, the only Tainis that we have to talk about is that the only Tainis Sivan we have is Yom Kippur. So that's why we recite Ne'ilah. So the Magen Avraham says Ne'ilah is a tefillah Satainis, so that's when you need two people standing next to the chazan. So the Magen Avraham says, by Nila we have two people standing next to the chazan. Well, where do you have two people? He says, because we keep the Aron Kodesh open the whole time, so everybody stands. So a lot of the people are standing next to the chazan. It's not necessarily always going to be like that. Yeah, sometimes the chazan is standing in a different location. So the Magen Avraham says, no, this by Nila you should have it. Huh? If he's on top of the bima, yeah, if he's on top of the platform. So the Magen Avraham is assuming that you're going to have people standing next to the chazan by Nila.
The Amid up front.
Yeah. If the Amid is not the higher elevation.
Well, why does it tell you to go in Kol Nidre? Go higher and higher. Louder.
Yeah, high pitch, high tone.
What's the time for that?
High key.
I don't know. I think that's based on something from the time of the Inquisition. No.
I don't know.
When they were killing Jews, so they were screaming. They were killing a lot of Jews then. So I think the minig developed from that time on that when they say the three kol nidres, they scream it out louder each time, reminiscent of the screaming at the time that they were killing them. Yeah, the Mishnah in the end of Yuma, the last parak in Yuma, the Mishnah and the Sugya developed the whole din of pikuach nefesh doicha kol ha-Torah kulam. From year number one, the first Yom Kippur that the Jews fasted in the Midbar, there must have been choylim miskenim who had to eat. That they're gonna, their lives would be besafik sakana if they're not gonna eat. So there must have been a din of pikuach nefesh. It doesn't make sense that the din was developed in later generations. Some of the history books quote that in the book of Maccabees, it says that the din of pikuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos was developed in the days of the Chashmonaim, because the goyim attacked the Jews on Shabbos and they didn't respond and they killed a lot of Jews. So that's when the rabbis developed this din that pikuach nefesh is deicha. So it's wild. How can he say such a thing? What do you mean? The first time they ever realized that they have a shayla is in the days of the Chashmonaim. Every Yom Kippur there was a shayla. No one ever had a baby on Shabbos. They never had to drive to the hospital. No one had to do anything on Shabbos. How can it be? They always had to do malachas on Shabbos. Couldn't be that the shayla pikuach nefesh only came up in the days of the Chashmonaim. So that's where
it could be not pikuach nefesh. It could be that they didn't wage war on Shabbos.
Oh, so that it must be a different pshat. Pikuach nefesh, they always knew is Deicha Shabbos, but waging war is not necessarily identical with pikuach nefesh.
Because Josephus says that Alexander the Great allowed his Jewish recruits not to fight on Shabbos.
Oh, it's a different word. So you have to say somehow an extension of the din of pikuach nefesh in the days of the Chashmonaim, they extended it to include all wars. But it doesn't make sense to say that there never was a din of pikuach nefesh till the days of the Chashmonaim. So the whole din, the whole sugya of pikuach nefesh, derech kol ha-Torah kula, is in the last perek in Yuma. That's where it belongs. Every Yom Kippur, you have an issue. The balabata master rabbanim. That's the, when I was in the rabbinate for a few, that was the second shayla that I had. The first shayla was about a woman who got to salt her liver. And the second shayla was on the erev Yom Kippur, that a woman in the community had to eat on Yom Kippur. Everyone has these shaylas. So the din is that pikuach nefesh is derech Yom Kippur. The whole source is in the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara has a machlokes. What if you only eat a tiny little bit on Yom Kippur? Eat less than the shear. Eat less than the shear. Gemara tells you what's the shear for eating, what's the shear for drinking. Each one has its own shear. And then the Gemara said, what if you eat just a tiny little bit? It's prohibited. Is that an isa min haTorah or is that an isa min haRabbanan?
Chatzi
shiur. So we machleg Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we pasken like Rabbi Yochanan that it's also min haTorah. Yeah, that's how we pasken. If the din would have been like Reish Lakish that it's only us and the Rabbanan, we wouldn't be so machmer. A lot of times you mat the risurim the Rabbanan. So we would have been a little more lenient. But the din is always get pasken like Rabbi Yochanan. The chatzi shiur is also min haTorah. So the only time you have a het to eat a chatzi shiur is when there's at least a suffix sakana, something, a suffix, a svek sveke of some sakana. But if there's no suffix sakana, you're not permitted to eat. That's what the Minchas Chinuch writes. Minchas Chinuch is not really a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is a collection of all of the 613 mitzvahs, all the Taryag mitzvahs. It gives you a brief description of each mitzvah, and it gives you a Tamei HaMitzvah. And the Minchas Chinuch writes essays on each one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Once in a long while, he'll make a comment on a line that the Sefer HaChinuch has. So regarding fasting on Yom Kippur, he finds one of the lines in the Sefer HaChinuch very questionable. Sefer HaChinuch says something about, if you want to eat less than the shiur, oh, that's even mutter if he's not a chayla mesukan. So he said, how can it be? We paskin chatzi shiur is also min haTorah. Less than the shiur is also an isa min haTorah. So the only hat to eat chatzi shiur would be if there's a suffix sakana. So how can the Sefer HaChinuch say that you're permitted to eat chatzi shiur even if you're not a chayla sheyesh besakana? So the Minchas Chinuch doesn't understand what the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about. So that's what Rav Elbel HaSoloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam. He said the Sefer HaChinuch is saying what my father paskin. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a psak on Yom Kippur regarding eating. So let's say there's someone who's 95 years old. He still goes to the office every day. Not the way he used to when he was 25 years old. Still goes, he functions, he eats meals every day. And the doctor says it's a sakana that he should fast on Yom Kippur. So would you call the 95-year-old person, would you call him a chodesh yesh b'sakana? He's not a chayla at all. He's not a chayla at all. He's a healthy person. He's elderly. He's not so sturdy. He's elderly. If he'll fast on Yom Kippur, he may endanger his life. That's not called a chodesh yesh b'sakana. That's a suffix sakana. So then the din would be, he's only allowed to eat to the extent that it's necessary to save his life. So if he'll eat a chatzi shiur, that'll be an isa deraisa without kares. If he eats a full shiur, that'll be an isa deraisa with kares. So the Gemara has a klal in the last perek in Yuma. Let's say a person is in a concentration camp or in Siberia, and the only food they had was non-kosher food. And he has to eat in order to save. If not going to eat, he's going to die from malnutrition. So they all ate chazer. They had no bread. They ate nevelas. They had to eat on Yom Kippur. They had to violate all kol haTorah kula because of pikuach nefesh was deicha. So the shaila is, if you have to save your life by violating an avera, and you can violate either a more chamedik avera or a less chamedik avera, so the Gemara says, so choose to violate the less avera. Machila mosa hakala kal tchila. You feed the person the food that has lesser avera. Let's say they have nevela meat and they have chalev. So chalev is an isa koris and nevela is an isa lav. So the Gemara says, eat the nevela. Don't eat the koris. So here there's a din. If you can save your life by eating a chatzi shiur, so you have no heter to eat a full shiur shalom. So let's say the doctor says this person has to eat so many ounces of food, he has to drink so many ounces of liquid. But he doesn't have to eat it and drink it all at the same time. So he can eat a little bit now and wait 15, 20 minutes. Eat a little bit later. So he'll only violate chatzi shiur, chatzi shiur, chatzi shiur, which is an isa deraisa, but there's no koris. So if he can save his life by violating a lesser aveira, so then he has no heter to eat the full kashir bevasachas. So then you have the din in the Shulchan Aruch. Machilim also, pachas pachas mikashir. Let him eat a little bit now, a little bit later, a little bit later. Shouldn't eat it all together. But what happens if he is a chodesh yesh b'sakana? Not that he's 95 and the doctor says he better not fast, it may be detrimental. He mamish has a sickness and we're trying to save his life. And part of saving his life is he has to eat meals. He already is a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, they quote from the Magen Mishneh on the side of the Rambam, that when you have a chodesh yesh b'sakana and it's necessary to do Chilul Shabbos to save his life, you're not only permitted to do Chilul Shabbos to the extent that it's absolutely necessary to save his life, you do kol tzarachav. Whatever you would do on a regular weekday, you do everything normal on Shabbos. You don't have to do kalach hayad and this, all the tricks, all the stunts. You don't have to do all of that. You take care of everything that he needs called Tzorach. So that's what in Valozhin, the yeshiva, they had this psak from the days of Rab Chaim Valozhin. Rab Chaim Valozhin founded Valozhin Yeshiva in 1901. And the yeshiva lasted for 90 years and it closed in 1801. And the yeshiva was closed in 1891. 90 years later it was closed. So in the early years, Rab Chaim Valozhin was the founder and he was the Rav in Valozhin. So he gave this psak that there's a difference between a healthy person who may become sick if he's going to fast, then you have to have him eat pachas mikashir. But if he already is a sick person, he's a chayla masukan already, and part of his treatment is, and we're giving him medication and radiation, whatever, we give him all kinds of things, and part of what we give him is that he has to eat food also. If he's not going to eat food, he'll be too weak and he won't be able to survive. So if the person already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, then you're allowed to violate everything necessary for kol tzarachu. You have to take care of him normally. So that was the psak of Rab Chaim Valozhiner, that you let him eat regular meals. So that's where Rab Chaim Soloveitchik also, the Netziv writes this, that he heard from the Nachlas David, who was the Talmud of Rab Chaim Eden, the Netziv joined the Valozhin Yeshiva before Bar Mitzvah. So he never knew Rab Chaim Valozhin. He knew Rabitzel of Valozhin, the son of Rab Chaim Valozhin. He married his daughter. The Netziv married the daughter of, she was a few years older than him. He was a little boy. It was just Bar Mitzvah when he married him. But he never knew Rab Chaim Valozhin. But he heard from the Nachlas David, who was learning in the yeshiva, that was the psak of Rab Chaim Valozhin. Rab Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So this was Rab Chaim Soloveitchik just carrying over the tradition in Valozhin, that when you have a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, you don't insist that you should eat pachas mikshir. You eat regular meals on Yom Kippur. So that's Rav Velvelo Soloveitchik writes in his Sefer on the Rambam. That's probably what the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about. Sefer HaChinuch writes that you're allowed to eat pachas, you insist you should eat pachas mikashir, even though he's not a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. So the Minchas Chinuch says, what do you mean? Chatzishir is also min haTorah. It's only mut if the person is b'sakana. If he's not b'sakana, he's not allowed to eat a chatzishir. It's not a nisa derabbanan that you just say b'mak m'chayla l'gaz b'am. It's a nisa deraisa. The only hetter to violate it would be if there would be a real makam sakana. So Rav Velvel explains that's what the Sefer HaChinuch means. Is he a healthy person? He's weak. A healthy person is weak, but he's not a chayla mesukam, but he has to eat in order that he shouldn't become sick. So then you tell him he has to eat pachas mikashir to save his life from a sakana. But if he already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, so then it Rav Velvel claims the Sefer HaChinuch sounds like he holds, like Rav Chaim Valozhiner, like Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Then he eats regular meals.
So if the person has to eat, they have to go through the same motions as they would on a regular day. They have to wash for a motzi and they have to bench.
Right. If a person eats on Yom Kippur and he benches, so then there's a big machlekes, does it say Yalav Yovei, B'yom HaKippurim Hazeh. Usually on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say Yalav Yovei Ritzei, because there's a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Ritzei on Shabbos, Yalav Yovei Yom Tov, because it's a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. On Yom Kippur, it's not a mitzvah to have a Sudas Yom Kippur. So maybe it doesn't make sense to say Yalav Yovei B'yom HaKippurim Hazeh. Well, what are you declaring? This is a Sudas Yom Kippur? Or do you say no? Today's Yom Kippur, so you got to say Yalav Yovei. So on Shulchan Aruch, that's a big machlek, is what they say Yalav Yovei or not.
What about Kiddush? Even in the making
Kiddush? Does a person who has to eat on Yom Kippur, should he make Kiddush? So in Shulchan Aruch there is a question. The Psak HaMekubal is that you don't say Kiddush. You don't say Kiddush. The Chachamim Rali Misak and Kiddush on a normal Shabbos and Yom Kippur. This is abnormal that a person has to eat on Yom Kippur. They have in the biography of the Avnei Nezer. When he was a little boy, he was always very sharp. His father was a Rav also. Avnei Nezer's father was a Chassidish Rav. So as a little boy, he went home and he ate on Yom Kippur and then he came back to shul. So the father asked him, did you say Kiddush? Avramala, did you say Kiddush? So he said, no. He says, why not? Why don't you say Kiddush? So he said, because the Gemara says in Chagiga that children before Bar Mitzvah are only mechuyev to do mitzvahs mitam chinuch. If after they'll Bar Mitzvah, they'll be mechuyev to keep it then. He said, after Bar Mitzvah, I'm going to be fasting. I don't plan to say Kiddush. I'm not mechuyev to say Kiddush now mitam chinuch. A lot of people have a practice about chinuch for children, about fasting on Tanaisim. So the Mishnah in Yuma says that children before Bar Mitzvah have to fast. The Gemara says, how early does the chinuch begin? So the Gemara says, if the girl is already 12 years old, the boy is 13 years old, so they're bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, so they have to fast ben HaTorah. And then the Gemara says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if the child is healthy, there's no problems in health, so 2 years before bar mitzvah, they should fast the whole day. And 2 years before, 2 years before, they should fast a half a day. And before that, you shouldn't allow them to fast at all. So some families have a practice that the last three tanesim before the child becomes bar mitzvah, you make them, for chinuch purposes, you make them fast the whole day. Tisha B'av, Asar B'Tevis, Am Gedali, whatever it happens to be. So that does not correspond, living or dead, to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says 2 years before bar mitzvah, they fast the whole day on Yom Kippur. But Tisha B'av and Shavasa B'Tamas, you don't fast at all. Even if the kid is going to become bar mitzvah tomorrow, his bar mitzvah is on the 10th of Av. And today is Tisha B'av, he doesn't have to fast on Tisha B'av. So one of the reasons that's given is exactly that. What do you mean? You want to train the child they should fast next year? None of us want to fast next year. We hope the Beis HaMikdash will be built and no one will have to fast. Amen. So we don't want to train the children that they should start fasting at a younger age. But the Gemara emphasizes that fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah saseh and eating on Yom Kippur is an avera. It's important to keep in mind both. There are some Rishonim say that chinuch only applies to children, chinuch only applies on mitzvahs. Because there is a concept with respect to a mitzvah of ena mitzvah v'yaisa, you volunteer to fulfill a mitzvah even though you're not mechuyev. So by children before by mitzvah, we mechanach them that they should have a kiyum on mitzvah. But on lavim on isurim, half of the rishonim hold that there is no chinuch. You don't have to be mechanach children. The Gemara has a lashon in the end of the Yibam, miskot neichon nevelus, vein bezem mitzvah malafrisha. You let the child eat non-kosher food and you just have to tell him, you know, tomorrow you're going to be bar mitzvah, so tomorrow you can't eat the chazan. You better eat all you want today because after you're bar mitzvah you can't eat the chazan. But you don't have to prevent them from eating the chazan out. That's one opinion in the Rishonim. That chinuch is only on mitzvahs, there's no chinuch on averus. So how come it says you have to be mechanach the children to fast on Yom Kippur? So the answer is because fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. One who fasts on Yom Kippur has fulfilled the mitzvah. Not only that eating on Yom Kippur is an avera, fasting on Yom Kippur is a kiyum mitzvah. But on the other hand, if fasting on Yom Kippur would only be a mitzvah sesei, then we wouldn't insist that the only one who's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur is only a chodesh yesh b'sakana. In Shulchan Aruch we have rules and regulations. How far are we mechuyev to be moisa nefesh for shmiras mitzvahs? So if it's a loy sesei, if he's dealing with an avera, to eat treifus or to be mechal shabbos or to do some avera, so you're not allowed to violate an aver unless it's a suffix sakana or a sfek sfek of a sakana. Just because it's an emergency, a very uncomfortable, extremely uncomfortable, there's no heter to violate an aver. But if you're not dealing with an aver, just dealing with a mitzvah, so sometimes we say you're not mechuyev to keep a mitzvah. If it's too difficult, if it's going to cost you gesund, you're not mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah. You're going to get sick from fulfilling mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to get sick. So that's what the Gemara emphasizes, that fasting on Yom Kippur is not only a mitzvah saseh. If it would only be a mitzvah saseh, and by fasting it's going to weaken my body, I would say I'm not mechuyev to fast. So the Mishnah says no, eating on Yom Kippur is an avera. So the only heter to eat on Yom Kippur is if there's a real suffix sakana. It does mean the suffix sakana means that there's a possibility he may drop dead today. No, even if you think that it may weaken his body, that he may die an hour earlier than otherwise. Like this, he would live till 120. Like this, he'll live till 119 and 353 days, instead of 354 days or something. So if you're afraid he'll die a little bit earlier than otherwise, because he'll be weaker, that's also called the suffix sakana. It's also called the suffix sakana. Sometimes the doctors make a mistake. They think that the rabbis are asking, is there a suffix sakana chance that he's going to die today? That's not what they mean. Suffix sakana is even if it's by fasting on Yom Kippur, he'll die earlier than otherwise. That's also called pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is daicha.
So how do you learn that eating on Yom Kippur is
daicha? Where's the pasuk? Where is the pasuk? Yes. Yeah. So the Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak in Makkos that one who eats on Yom Kippur gets malchus. And you only get malchus, the Bezn only gives malchus if he violates a lav. So the Gemara asks, where is there a lav? So the Gemara works very hard, and they dug up a lav. You look in the Rambam, the Rambam quotes a different pasuk for the lav. It's very unclear what the lav is, but it's clear that they had a tradition that not only is fasting on Yom Kippur a mitzvah saseh, that's explicit, but there's also a loy saseh, but we're not too sure where the pasuk is. the Mishnah, they had a tradition that there's a lav and there's malchus, and you only have to teat on Yom Kippur is when there's a sakana, a suffix sakana. The Mishnah talks about pregnant women. If a woman is pregnant and there's a suffix sakana, so then whenever there's any suffix sakana, so we insist that they have to eat, they're not permitted to prav any midas chasidus. There's no room for any midas chasidus here. So the Rishonim have a machloikis, who is the suffix sakana to? The suffix sakana is to the fetus, the suffix sakana is to the mother. Maybe pikuach nefesh is only doicha kolotar kula to one who is already born, one who's already a cheskas chai, so they may lose their life. So that's a suffix sakana. But if the mother will remain, mother's agizun teferet, and the shiloh only is on the uber, on the fetus, so maybe that's not enough to be considered a suffix sakana.
Say uber yerachimo, it's all one.
Okay, that itself is also a question, how we pass it. Uber yerachimo, uber bav yerachimo. That's also machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes in Taisvus, the Ri and the Rabbein Atam had a paskin. So this... Right, when Yishlag Kapor, that's the only place that it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. When Yishlag Kapor, do you need two different chickens for the mother and for the fetus, or are they covered with one chicken? So the Gemara Goyim says that this depends on Ubi Yarchim, Ubi Lav Yarchim. That's the only place in Shulchan Aruch that they discuss. So in the days of the Rishonim, this was a big dispute, whether suffix sakana on a fetus is derech kol tarkula. A lot of be Michal Shabbos, if you're not concerned about the life of the mother, mother's going to survive, you're only concerned about the fetus. So that's a big machlekes. You look in Shulchan Aruch, they don't take any stand on the issue.
The mother don't think good. But she survived. If she survived, she can have more other children. We have to care about the mother first.
That's for sure. Whenever there's any suffix sakana to the mother, for sure, it's deicha kola tarakula. The shaila only is, what if there's no sakana for the mother? We want to know, if she won't eat on Yom Kippur, she may lose this baby. But she won't lose her life at all. So is she allowed to eat on Yom Kippur or not? Are you allowed to be Michal Shabbos to save the life of the Uber who wasn't born yet? So in the Rishayim, it's a big machleika, it's a heated dispute. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't have any psak. So the reason why they don't take a stand is like the Rosh writes over there. The whole thing is irrelevant. Where do you have such a far-fetched case that we know it's only a sakana for the fetus, not a sakana for the mother? The woman has a miscarriage. It would be a sakana for the mother also, unless she's in a hospital and everything is under control of the doctors and they know exactly. Also, the doctors have Ruach HaKodesh. They know that it's only going to be a sakana for the Uber. So the reason why there's no psak in Shulchan Aruch, because the case never comes up. Babizban says sometimes the case does come up. They have Tataka, the woman is in the hospital, and they have everything under control, and they say the only suffix sakana is to the fetus, not to the mother. So there's no psak in Shulchan Aruch. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer, if there's no psak, then we have to go to Hakim. Because since suffix sakana is nefashis, lekula, so you don't say suffix deraisa lechumre in favor of Shabbos, in favor of the treifus. You have to say suffix sakana lekula in favor of the sakana. So since it's a machlekes harishayim, in the days of Rishayim, such a big machlekes, so bizman hazeh, the shayla does come up once in a while, that there's only a suffix sakana to the fetus, not a suffix sakana to the mother. So we would say, the Chazon Ish paskens halacha like that, that you say, pikuach nefesh when the yuber is also doicha shayla.
Should there be a shayla, like abortion? You're not allowed to have abortion. You can't take the fetus and separate it from the mother.
Right, but the shaila, maybe it's not Deich HaShabbos.
Huh?
The pasuk that's Deich HaShabbos is V'chai Bohem.
But by separating, you just separated the two. In other words, this can have a fatal, it's okay. And as long as the mother is not affected.
That's the shaila. Maybe the pasuk that allows you to violate all these Sirei Torah for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh only applies V'chai Bohem if the person is alive already to extend one's life. But the baby wasn't even born yet, so maybe that's not covered with the din of pikuach nefesh. The mother will survive.
If we're against abortion, we're assuming there's a life.
Not necessarily, totally zebizet. Everybody agrees that abortion is prohibited. They're just arguing what's the nature of the prohibition. Everyone agrees it's an issa deraisa abortion. But over here, not all the Rishonim agree that pikuach nefesh of the uber is deicha Shabbos. We assume that Yom Kippurim is mechaper. So the Pesukim say.
So Chazon Ish says about that the Mubarak should drink for the should always say.
He says today, if there's a suffix sakana for the Uber, and we know clearly there's no suffix sakana for the mother, So because in Shulchan Aruch there's no psak, so we have a klal, whenever there's a suffix whether something is treated as pikuach nefesh or not, it's a suffix pikuach nefesh is lahakel, whether it's a suffix on the facts or a suffix on the halacha. So it's a suffix on the halacha, whether pikuach nefesh of an uber is derech Shabbos, so we go lahakel, so we say that it is derech Shabbos, it's derech Yom Kippur, whenever there's a suffix you go lahakel.
Can you extend that thinking to if someone's taking care of a very sick person, they have to be alert, they have to be well. So the person that's taking care of them, are they permitted to be?
I mean, the person is afraid that if he's not going
to
eat.
They have to be fully alert and have their strength to take care of the sick person.
You should try to get the non-Jew who's a younger person, a healthier person. Whenever there's a case of pikuach nefesh, being doich or something, they should always try to avoid violating the issue. If you can save the patient's life without violating the din, so you try to do like that. So you try to make some other...
In an abstract, they find themselves in a situation, they're in Siberia, in the middle of Siberia.
Then you have no choice. Then you have to eat on Yom Kippur in order to save the other person's life. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. In the Vacha Dikishman Esrei, we always start off with Shevach, and then the essence of the Shman Esrei really is the Bakoshes in the middle. Now we conclude with Hoidoya, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So three of the brachas in the middle, first brachas, Chaneni Mitcha De Abinim Haskmi, Esther Ribbono Shel Olam, we should give us more Seichel. Okay? Seichel is the most important thing, start from Seichel. Then the next bracha, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashiveinu Abinu L'Sar HaSeichel, Achzireinu B'tshuva Shleim Olafanecha. He should give us the ability, we should be able to do tshuva. Then the next bracha is that after you do tshuva, you want to ask for Mechila Savainas. Slach Lo Abinu Tirchotanam, Chalonam Al-Kinu Kifashanu, the Banu Shalom should forgive all the sins. Then the next bracha is Reinav Yanyenu Ugyoleinu Goyal Yisrael. What is Gula? Gula means the definite Marami Prague writes. So the definition of Gula is to restore everything to the original state. Like a person sells himself as an Eved Ivri, so there's a Dinu Chumash of Gula Sevet that the relatives can buy him out, buy his freedom. Or if I sell, I had a field in Eretz Yisrael that I got Birusha from my father, from my grandfather, a stei achuza, not a stei mikne that I bought from someone else. A stei achuza, I got Birusha. Chuza means Birusha. So if I was pressed for money and I had to sell a field, so there's a din, when can I force the person who bought it from me to sell it back to me? That's called Geulas Batim. Then there's a din of Geulas Eved Ivri. Let's say a person was sold as an Eved Ivri. So when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, so the Eved Ivri goes free. Eved Knayni Shteit Le'olam Em Tavod. He doesn't go free, but the Eved Ivri goes free. So the Maharal Prague points out that Yom Kippurim has the power of Geula. Not only is Yom Kippurim Mechaper, Ki B'Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem, Yom Kippurim, we're given the opportunity to do tshuva. It's easier for us to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Make more comments on the pasuk. Dirsha Hashem Behimotzo. We should search out the Ribbono Shel Olam at that season of the year that he's more easily accessible. The Gemara says it refers to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And then the Rabbi Yonah writes in the beginning of the Shari Tshuva, and the Rambam writes like that, Yom Kippur is even more accessible than Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So on Yom Kippur, there's a special union to do Tshuva. The nature of the day of Yom Kippur is that it's easier for us to do Tshuva. Then the day of Yom Kippur accomplishes Kapara also. And then the day of Yom Kippur, the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, accomplishes also Geula, in the sense that we can be restored to the state that we were in before we did the sin. The Gemara comments on the Yud Gimel Midas, on Hashem Hashem Kel Rach Mechanon. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, what do you mean Hashem Hashem? It's the same Shem Hashem twice. The Gemara says, Kan Kodim Sheyechtu, Kan Lach Sheyechtu. So many interpret what it means is that a person shouldn't think that after he sins, there's no way to return back to his original state. No. The same Hashem Hashem Lach Hashiach, that's possible to be restored back to the original state of purity and the Kedusha and Tamimus that he had from before. So that's what Yom Kippur doesn't only have the power of enabling us to do tshuva, and the power of Kapara has the power of Geula. Geula means to be restored to the original state. So that's what the Maharal Prague writes, an interesting comment. When you have 50 Yom Kippurs in a row, and every Yom Kippur has a power of Geula, so the power of every plain Yom Kippur, year number one, year number two, year number three, to do Geula, it does Geula on a sinner. A person has the ability to do tshuva, his averus will be forgiven, he can be restored back to the state that he was in before he sinned. Kan kodim sheyechta, kan lacha sheyechta. But if you have 50 Yom Kippurs in a row, So the tziruf of all of the geulas can accomplish the geula of the batim. And the if I sold this day achuza, so it accomplishes a geula that is restored back to the original owner, and a geula of an eved ivri. The eved ivri goes free. He says each Yom Kippur of the first 49 years accomplishes a little geula, and the tziruf of all 50 Yom Kippurs together accomplishes the full geula.
Why the number 50?
That's Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, the 50th year. Yovel, yeah. Many of the darshanim explain, the Gemara says when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow pshuto shalofaneh, pshuto lachreh, tkiya. You first blow tkiya, you blow tkiya after. And the Chumash only says, Yom Truah Yelachem. The Gemara learns out from psukim, but I mean, when you blow the truah, you have to have a tkiya before and a tkiya after. The Gemara calls it tkiya pshuto. What is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik once said over in the name of the Rabbanim in Europe, the Darshanim in Europe used to say, the Pasuk says in Koheles, V'alekim asas Adam Yashar, V'heim ha-bikshe chishvoynes rabim. The Rabbanu Shalom created man, pure, straight. That's represented by the Pshuto Shalafanel. The Neshama is straight. Then the person sins, he ruins his own personality, and he's like a Shvarim, he's a broken person. So the Pshuto Shalachra represents the possibility to do tshuva and to be restored to the state that we were in before. So many suggest that that's the pshat and the minig of Tkiyas Shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. There's a minig to blow shofar after Yom Kippur, so the Tosfos is not sure exactly what it's all about. So one suggestion in Tosfos is that it's Zeichel Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, you have to blow like on Rosh Hashanah. Three times you have to blow Tkiyah, Trua Tkiyah. So the Mechaber writes in Hilchas Yom Kippur, Amitzoy Yom Kippur, below Tkiyah Shvarim Chua Tkiyah. That's Rav Soloveitchik had the minig in his Beis Medrash in Boston. He followed the minig of the Mechaber to below Tkiyah Shvarim Chua Tkiyah. So that's on the assumption that it's Zechel Tkiyah Shal Yovel. But the Ramah says that's not the minig in Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, they just below Tkiyah Gedoyla. So what is that all about, the Tkiyah Gedoyla? So Tosfos has a suggestion in Masechus Shabbos and Masechus Megillah. Tosfos has a suggestion. Maybe the Tkiyat Goyla is a similar Siluk Shechina. Like on the occasion of Ma'amid HaSinai, B'nai Yisrael were told, no one's allowed to climb up on HaSinai. Hanagia Bahar Mos Yumos, anyone who touches HaSinai. Ve'imei Mish Lo Yechye. Behemoths weren't allowed to walk on HaSinai. It's a din of Shor Sinai. If a behemoth walks on HaSinai, you have to give it Misa. And if a person touches HaSinai, he's Chayv Misa.
I think the Mishnah Berurah says it's Siluk Shechina.
Siluk Shechina, yeah, that's the official reason that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That after Maimon HaSinai was all over, then it says, when they'll hear the Kol HaShofar, Hema Yala Bahar. They're allowed to go up because the Tkiyah Shofar at the end of the whole Maimon HaSinai is a similar Siluk Shechina. So it means that on Yom Kippur, we assume that there's a special added Hashras HaShechina, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, more so than the rest of the year. And then when Yom Kippur comes to a close, so the Shechina goes back. So that's why Tosfos has the meaning in Brachas. We say Hashem Hu Halakim seven times to represent the fact that we baglate the Shechina from this earth to the first heaven, to the second heaven, to the third heaven. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim and Tanakh, that there are seven heavens. So we say seven times Hashem Hu Halakim. We don't believe in the Trinity. We certainly don't believe in seven gods. What do you say seven times Hashem Hu Elokim? That's what Tosfos raises the issue. The Mishnah says, "I'm a Shma Shma Mishaskenosi." You're not allowed to say anything that sounds like you believe in more than one God. So how can you say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times? The Tosfos says, "No, there's only one God, but we're bidding the Shechinah farewell as it goes to the seventh heaven." So part of that meaning is that you blow shofar at the end as a similar Siluk Shechinah. But others say that's why you only blow a tkiyah. You don't blow tkiyah through a tkiyah. But others say no, that the tkiyah shofar after Yom Kippur is like the pshuto shalachreho. That the pshuto shalafaneho before, when you started before Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, so the pshuto shalafaneho represents halikim asas adam yashar. And then the shvarim and the trua represents the fact that people unfortunately sin and we ruin our lives and we ruin our personalities. And we don't have that yashus. We don't have that straightforward approach to life. And the pshuta shalachra represents the idea that we can theoretically restore the initial. We can have the kan lachashe yechto. We can restore the original state. So after aseres and mechuva, after Yom Kippur, so we assume that maybe there was a geula on Yom Kippur, not only a tshuva, not only a mechilas avodos, but there was a geula as well, a geula in the sense that we turned back to the original state that we were in before we sinned. So you blow the pshuta, the kia gdoyla after Yom Kippur represents the pshuta shalachrea, that maybe we were restored back. If we really observed Yom Kippur properly, we did the tshuva, and we obtained the kapara, so we can obtain the gula as well. Gula in the sense of being restored to the original state. So maybe that's the idea. But one has to work on it. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, whether Yom Kippur is mechapa l'sheinam shavim. So Rebbe is of the opinion Yom Kippur is mechapa even if you don't do tshuva. So most of the Rishonim do not accept the view of Rebbe. Most of the Rishonim say Yom Kippur is only mechapa if you do tshuva. How do we know it's not for us to determine? Bezon Shalmaila has to paskan on that. It's not up to us to determine. Some of the Goyinim write that they assume that the din is like Rebbe. Yom Kippur is mechapa even if l'sheinam shavim. But even if the mechapa l'sheinam shavim, but you're not going to bring geula. Mechapa means it wipes off the averes, you won't be punished for it. But still, you're not going to be restored to the original state. So everyone agrees that there is a special lenient to do tshuva on Yom Kippur in order to obtain the geula, even if you get kapara. But if there's no tshuva, there's no geula, you're still going to be missing a lot. So one has to work on it. One has to, beginning from Rosh Hashanah, we start blowing shofar to start having hirhurei tshuva. And then it takes a long time. A lot of times it takes much longer than aseres yemei tshuva. It takes years and years and years. The svarim point out the main thing that helps a person do tshuva is liman haTorah. That's what we say in the Daman. Hashibeinu avinu l'sarasecho. By learning extra Torah, that's how a person comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we believe that the Torah is a collection of laws. Whatever it says, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha has to be observed, but it's not merely a collection of laws, it's a description of Elokus. It's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by learning the Torah, we believe that we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu, Usmuras Hashem Yabit. He was the only Navi who saw the image of God. What do you mean? God doesn't have any image. How can he see Tmunas Hashem Yabit? So what it means is he was the only Navi to whom the Torah was given. The Torah is Tmunas Hashem. Torah is a description of Elokus. The other Naviim were not given Torah. They were given Hayrah Shah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who was given Torah L'dairus. That's exactly why we assume one of the principles, one of the 13 principles of our Emunah, the Rambam lists off is, Shezos HaTorah Lo Sihim Mukhlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. Why can't the laws of the Torah change? If you live in different times, why such an obstinate insistence on the part of the Orthodox that the laws of the Torah cannot change? So the traditional explanation is that the Kol HaTorah Kul is a description of Elokus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, the Ribbono Shel Olam's essence doesn't change. So the laws of the Torah never change. Sometimes the circumstances change, so the application of the laws change. You don't always apply Sif Aleph. Sometimes you apply Sif Beis. Under other conditions, you apply Sif Gimel. The cases are not always the same, but the laws in abstract never change. So that's what the Medrash says. If a person is interested in doing tshuva, if he used to learn 1 hour a week, let him learn 2 hours a week. If he used to learn a Perek Mishnayis a day, let him learn 2 Prokem Mishnayis a day. When a person learns more, so it becomes, by definition, he becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by definition, Shmiras HaMitzvahs becomes more natural, becomes more accessible, more available, easier to keep all the mitzvahs. So we have to try to work on it.
It's enough, 10 days of 13 Shemot.
Not enough.
All the air.
Avada. So we have to start with Rosh Hashanah, Isarus L'Tshuva. And then a lot of times it takes much more than Aseres to make tshuva. But we hope that someday we will be zoichet to the Tkiyah Gdoyla at the end, the Pshuta Shalach Re'a, which will indicate that we had a Geula, that we were able to restore our situation to the original situation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of us with a pure soul. So there is a possibility to have that Pshuta Shalach Re'a. I want to wish everybody a Gmach Sima Teva, a good Kibben Shtior.
Amen.
What time is it? Slichas now? Oh, you don't have it. Oh. Yeah, I thought it was holding everybody. Amen. A good year. Amen. Good year. Good year.